Well, I'm recording alone today. Not entirely alone. Some people had sort of suggested like maybe you should be alone, or, you know, I had sort of thought maybe like that would be the right way to go here because, you know, I think the dynamics when we bring in guests just really haven't worked well in the past. And so, but then I thought, I think I'm not being generous. And Jessica St. Clair was such a hit the first time we had her on that I sort of wanted the audience to realize that sometimes you get one stroke of luck or, you know what I mean? You wake up on the right side of the bed and you can't pin everything on that because it's not ever consistent. And so it's good to see people sort of have their highs and their lows and lightning doesn't strike twice and all that. So with me today is Jessica St. Clair. Hi.
Hi. What an intro. That's definitely a different intro than I'm used to.
No, it's fine. It's such a funny thing because you obviously have your own podcast and
Runaway Hit. They're calling it. Entertainment Weekly called it that. I don't know.
Is that true?
I don't know who else
did
called
it.
They did. They sure did. But I mean, so it's not me calling it that, of course.
No, not at all. And obviously this is a very different sort of show. I mean, like Rana and I are so, you know how like usually you know someone's classy if they call themselves classy?
Yeah.
So I'm very classy and Ron and I have a really sort of high pedigree for this show and all that. And so that's why I was so confused. Your name kept coming up. We asked listeners, who would you like to hear again?
Right.
And your name kept coming up. And I just thought like, listen, she should really bow out while the iron has struck really hot. So
wow. Okay.
I hope I didn't put you in a weird position.
No, please. I would do anything for Aunt Rana is what I call her. I've known her so much longer than you have, I think, at this point.
Right. It's just that I've been so much closer to her, you know, physically and who knows how else. Yeah.
But I mean, in a lot of ways, she's like a surrogate mother to me.
Yeah, she is my mother. You know, I mean.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Not
right,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Totally.
So yeah, when Rana called and said, you know, please, will you help me out? I would do anything for her because, you know, I did when I was in my 20s, you know, I really needed her help. And obviously she let me live in the guest house and, you know, and, and that's where you are right now.
I am. I mean, as you can see, it's a major upgrade. I was able to like move some stuff and it was so wrecked before.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Cause I actually had, Rana, she's so funny.
We have so many inside jokes. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. When I moved in, you know, I think I was 19 years old. And I said, listen, I just need a futon to sleep on. And she, oh my God, she had a designer come over from Paris and had her do a whole thing. Like, what are my colors? And it was very shabby chic at the time. You know, it was gorgeous. And they actually featured it in Architectural Digest. So I didn't know if she did some of that for you. Are you living there now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So she's, is that in the planning stages or?
Well, I actually redid all her furniture a little bit because I needed something a little more outdoor furniture inside because I'm not, you know, I'm a very creative personality type. So a lot of stuff, whether it's a catch up on the sofa or I tried to get into the, have you ever been in the main house, by the way? She's never
Of course. Yeah. No, I mean, listen, she wanted me to stay in the main house.
Okay.
And I said, I will not get in your way, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah. But then we had sleepovers like every other night.
Yeah,
sometimes
so
she would come and sleep
COVID,
in our place.
It's COVID.
Yeah. That's
it's sort of
the
like
variant. What with the variant,
variant
and
the
all.
Variant, the variant. Because she doesn't, I got the Sputnik. And
I'd heard that. In the back of like a gas station?
The back of a Tesla.
Tesla. Okay,
the
got
back
it,
of a Tesla dealership. Did you get vaccinated? No, you're anti-vax, right?
No, God, no.
Oh,
No.
That's one of the things I had written out.
No, God, did you write it out? Did you
I
write
did.
That?
I was just sort of guessing where, you know, and that was one of the things I had.
No, in fact, on my podcast, The Runaway Hit, we had we actually had a cardiac specialist come on and talk about, you know, talk to people about how they can speak to people who are anti-vaxxers about how we can hopefully change the message around vaccination. So that was really, we got some really nice responses from that. That was our most recent podcast.
Okay. Then you are anti-choice though, right? Is that right?
No.
I guess, I must be reading something wrong. I thought you had a firm stance on that, but no.
No, I'm pretty much pro everything.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, Jessica St. Clair, I'm really, you're here.
I'm here.
And I think we should get this. Oh, have we talked about where Ron is? Ron is playing mixed doubles with Hugh Moskowitz, who of course is the pediatric anesthesiologist that she's friends with. Yes. I offered to play and she said I wasn't up to the right level yet, so.
Uncle Hugh, I love that. I have to tell her to please tell him to say hello for me.
You know him?
Yes. Oh my God. Hugh? You know what is amazing is when I was struggling as an actress in my early 20s, Hugh actually, you know, was one of my benefactors. He paid my rent for 2.5 years in West Hollywood.
See, I don't use the casting couch. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, no, no. It wasn't that. It was that he believed so much in my talent. And Rana said, hey, do you have any extra, you know, bucks to rub together? And he said, of course. So, yeah. And he's a producer on, you know, an upcoming film that I wrote and directed. So I'm really excited about that.
Okay. Well,
it was more of an investment, an early investment, which, right. You know, I really do hope it pays off.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll definitely, I can't wait to see the movie and I don't know if any of you are like, yeah, okay. It's a Christian movie? It's a...
Nope.
Christian. Oh.
No, no.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm totally sure. I wrote it and, you know, it'll probably be, you know, a pick at Cannes or a Palm, probably going to win a Palm d'Or. You know, I don't want to...
You did say Cannes, right? I just want to make sure. Yeah.
No, what I said was I was having trouble hearing you. I needed to throw on my cans. And so I put on my headphones. Right.
Okay, got it, got it, got it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, without further ado. What?
Hi. I am so sorry to
Tony?
Interrupt. Hello. Yes, hello.
What are you doing here? This isn't how this works.
I know. It's very unusual for me to jump on. I'm really sorry. Very sorry to interrupt.
It's okay.
But I have
not
a message
all.
From, well.
Rana would be so upset with you right now, Tony. I don't even know. She knew you did this. Because this is very unprofessional.
Under normal circumstances, you're absolutely right. But she actually gave me a message.
Oh, wow.
To read to both of you.
Okay, great. Okay,
well, if it's about Jessica, just edit that part. You know what I mean? I don't want to hurt her feelings.
Yeah, we'll see if we want to even include this in the show.
Okay,
okay,
fair
great,
enough.
Great. Yeah. We can always cut it.
Yeah, we can always cut it.
Cut.
Actually.
Yeah, you know.
Actually, before I start, Jessica, Hugh Moskowitz says hello.
Oh my God, tell him thank you, and I will see him on the red carpet.
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely,
okay.
Yeah. He wanted me to definitely give
thank
you that
message. Thank okay. you so much. Yeah.
Good, good. Keep going. That's not what we're here for.
Okay, well, yeah, I'll get to the message.
Yeah,
get
yeah,
down
yeah,
to,
yeah.
Get down to business here.
Yeah, thank you. It's so just this, like, I'm a business person. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 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 of
yeah.
course.
Totally
yeah.
understand. Yeah. So this is verbatim from Mrs. Glickman. I couldn't possibly be happier that my dear, dear friend, Jessica St. Clair, a true Carriage House original, pardon me, is joining the show as a guest host today. She was an absolute delight when she filled in for Brian when he abandoned me back in March. Don't include that last part, Tony. Actually, yeah, sure, go ahead.
Okay.
I know Jessica will bring her usual charm and insight to the program and help keep Ask Rana with Rana and Brian one of the best podcasts available on any platform. Ryan, don't worry.
Present.
You're still in charge of things while I'm away.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And I want you to remember two things.
Okay.
I trust
See, this
you
is,
implicitly.
We're gonna be nice.
Yeah, this is it.
This is
I
true.
Trust you implicitly.
Thank you, Rana.
And I retain full and final editorial control. Kiss, kiss.
Okay.
That's really sweet. I do actually really appreciate that. Never listen back to this show, much less edit it. So I don't even really care that she had that dig at the end.
Right.
It's fine with me.
So it's more like you're when you get a babysitter who's like, I don't know, like a preteen and you're like, hey, listen, you know, I'm going to be across the street at this, you know, wine and cheese. But like if you need anything, if you have a question, like I'll be checking in, you know, like physically I'll be coming in and checking in.
Right.
As opposed to say, you know, a live-in nanny who you would say, hey, I'm going away for 3 days, you know.
Right.
Please don't contact
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I'm fiercely independent. So it actually, I mean, like ferociously independent. Like I'm always,
right.
I never really think about her or
right,
anything
right, right.
while I'm moving through this place. Or, but she has
right,
not
right,
returned
right.
one text of mine in the past
yeah.
2 hours because I needed, I need someone to take me to Savers.
Oh,
so anyway,
okay.
yeah,
All
I don't
right.
think she
well,
would anyway.
Anyway.
But okay, anyway. Tony, thanks for the message.
Absolutely.
And Tony,
good record.
Yeah, Tony, your skin looks great, by the way.
Thank you. It's called a Zoom filter, and I'm very, very happy.
Well, I use that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're a very, very handsome man, Tony. It's nice to meet the face behind the voice.
Correct.
Bless you. Thank you. So I can see what Mrs. Glickman sees in you. So I really appreciate
that.
Thank
you. Thank you.
That's very sweet.
That is sweet.
Yeah. Have a good record.
Okay. Bye, Tony. Now, Jessica, can I get down to some business before we get to these cues?
Of course.
Okay, good. Have you tried, by the way, have you tried the Negrana yet?
Oh, my God. It's delicious.
Delicious.
I cracked it open the moment I got it. I've drunk through one, okay, and I purchased another one. Where is it?
Is that true?
Ooh, yes, I purchased another one. Gorgeous. I served it, actually, at one of my Hollywood parties.
Oh, you did?
Yes, yes. And everyone loved it. Everyone loved it.
Okay,
but yes, isn't this a beautiful bottle?
It's a gorgeous bottle. I got to say, I'm on my second bottle too. I'm actually taking one to a friend's house tonight, which will be great.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
Oh, how nice. But yes, this is just, it's stunning. And it came with all these little treats and treasures, you know, coaster and a little bag. Now, let me ask you, did you get a bag like this, or just me?
No, I didn't. Yeah,
okay. So this is what they would call in the business swag bag. So I got all these little treats and treasures in here, and very, very, very lovely.
I know. One time I got a round brush.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. It was that and a bag when I went to the Grammy Awards.
Wow.
Nothing else in it.
Good for you. I do have a story, which is that one time, Lennon and I'm going to just drop our bitch routine, because to be honest with you, Brian,
I love you.
I would love for us to join forces.
We're like
two, you know, it's like the comedy and tragedy mask. You know, one doesn't work without the other in Rana's life. So,
and Rana thinks basically we're both trash. I mean, so we are united in that.
Exactly. And she's there to help us. Let's share notes. But anyway, one story I did have to tell was Lennon and I were asked to present at something, an award. We weren't receiving one, and we weren't really fit for public consumption. Okay. We had crawled out of the edit room. I looked a little like that.
Is this when you were doing Playing House?
Playing House. And we would go into the edit room for like almost 3 or 4 months, and I wouldn't get my roots done. And I looked like that little animal. What's the little animal that sits next to Jabba the Hutt? You know, he looks like a little gremlin, like a prototype of a gremlin. Yeah. So I looked like that. But yet we tried to gussy ourselves up, and we didn't really rehearse our bit. And it bombed. I mean, I have never bombed harder than this. It was so disturbing that I actually stopped speaking for the first time in my life on stage, and poor Lennon had to like vamp. It was horrible. And so we decided to cut out early and hit the gifting suite.
Great.
And Lennon and I love a gifting suite. We'll take
better.
We'll take anything. I don't care. Like one of those pillows where, remember there were pillows where the sequins, you could go down and
yes.
up. It would be a different pillow.
It was like
pillow
an ombre pillow.
That's right.
Yes.
I'll take one of those. I'll take whatever you got to offer. So we loaded it all into a suitcase, a rolling suitcase that was also a giveaway. And we were trying to get out. We were trying to leave. And the only way out was like behind the stage where the audience could see us, but we didn't realize it. And so mid-wheel, we kind of got froze, looked out and saw like Chelsea Handler's round table staring at us like, where did they go? And why are they sneaking out like fucking, you know, the Grinch?
Rolling back at Nuns on the Run. Yeah, totally.
It was just terrible.
That's
anyway,
amazing.
I
gotta say, the rolling bag, that's a good gifting suite.
Well, one time I got, not to brag, but I got a Swiss Army makes a hard shell case, which I know people are on different sides of. You know, some people say, get a duffel, you can fit more in.
Exactly.
I disagree. This thing, you can shove.
I like
shove
to be limited.
Yes, but also if you want to shove stuff in this, this is meant to be dropped from like a mountaintop and still survive. And so that's what I like to use. Yeah, that was my best. And now I'll never buy one outright because God knows I don't have that.
No, they're giving them away all the time if you're in
Hollywood.
Exactly. So I'm glad that we've both made this the summer of the Negrana, and that we're living. Are you just having a fabulous summer with it? You're having the best time.
I really am. It's my shot girl summer. I went away for the first time.
Where did you go?
New Hampshire. I went to New Hampshire to visit my parents.
I was just in Rhode Island. When were you in New Hampshire?
Were you really?
Yeah. What part of New Hampshire are you from? Or you have to say
I'm from about 20 minutes from Dartmouth.
Okay, cool.
Where Dartmouth is. But it rained. Did it rain for you for most of your journey?
Because of Elsa.
That's right.
She
let it go. Let it go.
Completely.
20 out of 25 days I was there, it poured rain. And I got to tell you, I still had a good time because I wasn't in these four walls.
I totally get it. And it was also the kind of thing where every time the clouds would break for 5 seconds, if they did it all,
I would
run to the ocean and jump in and then run
back out.
And I felt so active.
Me too. It was very Danielle Steele. Like I was wrapped in sometimes in a cashmere, and then the sun would come out and I'd immediately strip down.
I felt like Catherine Hepburn every morning.
Yes.
Just getting that salt air.
Yes.
Living the hard way.
Yes.
Yankee style.
You know, her skin must have been tough stuff towards the end. I know we never really saw her in a filt without like the many filters that I wish they still had.
Yeah.
But she seemed to really like live with the elements, you know, and I feel like Rana would have had a lot to say about that.
She is probably the only person who was Lyme disease proof, because all she did was walk and swim where ticks breed
every
given moment and go get like some horrible bitter chocolate as like a treat. Like that was, you know what I mean? She did everything, taping up her boots and walking around and
to the extreme. And imagine if she'd gotten filler, how different her face would have looked. Do you know what I mean? Imagine.
Yes. It would have
today's Catherine Hepburn would be unrecognizable.
Do you want to hear a really good Catherine Hepburn story?
Yes.
And then we're going to get to the show. It's not about me and her. I've certainly never been in her company.
Sure.
But Barbara Walters one time interviewed her. And as you can imagine, Catherine Hepburn hates an interviewer.
Oh, really, hates it. It takes her. It means she has to take a break from like mountain trekking.
Exactly. Putting leaves all over her.
Bareback horseback riding.
Exactly. She was absolutely. And by the way, you know, she really hated safe sex. I do remember that about her.
Really?
Yeah.
True.
She only bareback because she thought the other was a cheat. She was like, listen, I can handle anything. Give it to me.
It kind of is.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so Barbara Walters was interviewing her, and she was asking some dumb question about the fact that Katharine Hepburn wore pants so much.
Sure.
And so she said to Katharine Hepburn, she said, do you own a skirt? And Katharine Hepburn goes, I own one, and I'll wear it to your funeral. So fucking good. So good.
Oh,
love
that's
it.
Good. Oh, that's good.
Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something, you can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss.
All right, Jessica, we're not here to talk about Katharine Hepburn all day.
Sure.
We're not here to fight, as we also just discussed.
No.
We are here to help people. Oh, I should also say, go to Negrana.com for the Negrana. Go to AskRanaCoffee.com for our delicious, gorgeous coffee. But really, what we're here to do is to help a lot of people.
Right.
Let's get into some questions. How does that sound?
Okay, let's get into some cues.
Okay, I will read this first one.
Okay.
You know, usually I let Rana pick who's going to read the first one, but
You're in charge.
Dear Rana and Brian, so I'm putting an X through that. Dear Brian and Jessica.
Okay.
A few years ago, right before I moved out of my old condo building, a new neighbor moved in across the hall from me. Mm-hmm. I could tell he was family, if you catch my drift. And he wasn't bad looking. So I'm guessing that means he was gay.
He was gay. Okay. I've never heard that phrase before.
Because it's a very Quentin Crisp.
Is it? I've never heard. That's like when gay people had to wear, men had to wear like a, put a little pocket, a pocket neckerchief
signal.
Or whatever. To signal that, they were down to clown.
This is like No Coward's Private Lives move.
That's right. Okay.
Are they family? So apparently this guy's family. Okay. So he's gay. If you catch my drift. And he wasn't bad looking. So I made an effort to be friendly to him. Okay. That was generous. He invited me over for a drink shortly after he moved in and poured us a very expensive bottle of wine while telling me he was an 18-year-old college freshman from a wealthy European family. He didn't want to live in the school dorm, so he convinced his father to buy him a condo, even though he would have, quote, preferred something a little more high-end. Eye-rolling at the subtle dig, I decided this kid, 11 years my junior, wasn't anyone I wanted to spend any more time with. Furthermore, it was starting to become clear that the boy had carnal intentions. So I excused myself across the hall. Later that night, I got a text from him asking me in no uncertain terms. This is like Maggie Smith wrote this letter.
Yes!
So fancy. Later that night, I got a text from him asking me in no uncertain terms to come over so he could, that's his ahem, perform oral sex on me. I told him
Wait a second. If I thought he was just going to leave it at ahem and we're going to fill in the blanks.
No, no. This is where he became a dirty dog like the rest of us.
Okay, okay.
I told him I was flattered, but I wasn't interested. His reply, quote, fuck me then? ?
Wait a second. If you don't want to get a blowjob, which takes almost no effort at all.
None.
You're going to then, as a second option, want to put in that kind of cardio work? That's crazy.
I couldn't agree more.
Easy.
You're right, you're right. Fuck me? No.
Also, I don't know if I pass up a free blowjob from across the hall, from a very good-looking
Never in
Young
a million
man.
Years.
I don't think I would. Like, that's no strings attached.
No strings attached. And by the way, I'm with you. That's very difficult for that. But again.
Are you ever going to regret a free blowjob given to you with no strings attached? Are you going to regret that? No,
only if
not.
You're Harold Pinter, like the writer.
That's right.
Here.
That's right.
His reply, fuck me then. Again, I politely refused. Minutes later, I heard a knock on my front door and opened it to find him fanning 10 $100 bills in the doorway. This is one of the greatest questions we've ever had. I just want to say, Ron is really missing
out.
I am on board for this. I was shocked by the proposition, but it made for a good story to recount to my friends over boozy brunches afterwards. When I initially told my friends that I turned down the money, most of them seemed to think I'd made the wrong decision. $1,000 and he wasn't even ugly? Why not?
But
here's the thing. I've continually lied to my friends about that night. And in reality, I did go through with it.
Now this guy sounds like a psychopath.
Totally.
Honestly,
a steak was just placed in front of me and I'm now relishing this.
Wow.
Not wanting to deal with the shame of it, I thought it better to keep what happened that night to myself. Except then you told your friends.
And they said, you should have done it. So where's the shame?
You're right.
Where's the shame?
I moved out of the building within weeks of that particular rendezvous and thought that I wouldn't have any more contact with the guy. However, fast forward 3 years later, and I find out that a casual friend I had all but lost touch with during the pandemic has been dating him for the past 18 months.
Oh, man.
I had all but lost touch with, oh, no, excuse me. In itself, it wouldn't be anything scandalous. When we got back in touch to the point that I could ask my friend about his new beau, however, I discovered that my former John might have misrepresented himself for the duration of the relationship. For one thing, he told my friend that he was 25 years old when they first started dating. And by my count, he would at most be 21. He also told my friend that he bought his condo on his own before he decided to go back to school and has asked my friend for money to help with the mortgage. Most egregiously, however, he also told him that he had never been with a man before they got together.
Oh,
meanwhile, he's sending texts to men, fuck me then.
Wow.
I'm sure this is a situation where I need to mind my own business, but my friend is one of the most honest and kind people I know, and I believe he deserves to be in an honest relationship. Rana, Brian, should I tell my friend he might be getting hoodwinked by his partner, even if it might mean revealing one of my most shameful secrets? Much of love, course. The one-time whore. Oh. Wow. What do you think?
Wow.
What do you think? What would you do?
1,000. First of all, my first apartment that I sublet from, I was in New York and I had to go to LA for pilot season and I didn't have a penny to rub together.
Sure.
And I did an apartment swap that I placed the ad on Craigslist. You can come live in my apartment and I'll come live in yours. And it was this man who called himself a personal chef, and it was in West Hollywood, and he was going to come live with me or in my place.
Sure.
So I literally truly cannot believe I did this, but I show
By the way,
up.
So far though, sounds like a good switch. West Hollywood and then him
Great.
In New York. Great.
Yeah,
why not?
Exactly. You sent me pictures, blah, blah. So I show up and Jason Mantzoukas is with me.
Okay.
Comedian
friend
and
of the show,
and,
yes,
and college, you know, one of my college best friends, and he immediately upon walking into the apartment said, "This guy is a psycho." And I said, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "Well, okay, he has photocopies of Britney Spears framed on the wall, all over the wall."
Okay.
Then he opened up all the DVDs, empty, no DVDs. Okay, a TV that didn't work. And then a life-size, a gigantic dollhouse next to his bed. And he said, this person is a psychopath.
I mean,
and something bad is going to happen to you. Well, he ended up stealing $4,000 from me. He wrote all these bad checks. And then—
Like he was writing checks from your account or something?
Yes. And then— When the night before I was going to tape my pilot, I come home and there's a lock on the door from the sheriff's department because it turned out this wasn't his apartment at all.
He was squatting?
He was being a kept man by an older married gentleman who found out that he left town and went to New York City. Okay. And was like, fuck this, and locked the door. Okay. I couldn't get my stuff. Oh. I had to at 8 p.m. at night, figure out what to do. Finally got into my things. And I was like, listen, I want to get that money back. This is now I'm like so enraged and the bank didn't care. I want to get my money back. And Jason said, let me take a shit in his closet.
Oh, this is like the letter. It's going places I couldn't ever even imagine.
He said he's not going to know until it's too late what's happened there, and you're never going to get that money back. And I said, absolutely not. That's insane. And I never saw the money. And actually, when my friend went to my apartment to make sure to get him out of there, right. He left the door open. Okay, wide open in New York City. He had house music blaring from, and it had been going on since like 10 p.m. the night before.
Okay.
And he had a straight porn running on my TV. He had downloaded in the last 24 hours like 31 straight porns. Okay, on like pay-per-view, right? This is before you could really get everything
you
wanted.
So he's running up the bills, no problem.
Then there was a half...
Oh my God.
A half-eaten Entenmann's chocolate cake with a butcher knife in it and a half-empty bottle of Aquanet on the coffee table. And I never saw him again until he emailed me to say, what the fuck, you didn't water my plants. And I regret every day of my life that I didn't let Jason take a shit in that man's closet.
By the way, Jason saying this man is a psychopath was actually, who would have thought it was the biggest understatement of a lifetime?
Yes. And you know, that's the thing. He's like built to, you know, I used to take him to whatever apartment I was going to rent or sublet, like in New York. And I would say, find the areas that a predator could lurk. I would say, where could someone get me at night? I was so convinced that everyone wanted to get to me.
Of course.
You know, even though I had, you know, Hugh Grant's haircut from Four Weddings and a Funeral, like nobody wanted me.
It's the big city.
Yeah. But he would be like, here, 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 run past here. You know, and I'd be like, okay. So anyway, so that is to be said. All of that is to say there is no shame in accepting a free blowjob. Absolutely, he should have done it. And he should just say, listen, that was pre-pandemic me was shameful. Now I'm all about vulnerability. Totally. I'm all about openness and I'm ready to come clean. And absolutely, he should alert his friend because I'm telling you, it is not going anywhere good.
I gotta say, I'm glad he held out for money. That might not have been his original intention. Maybe deep down, he thought like, well, no, I'm not gonna do this for free, but I'm glad you held out for the money. That's whatever. You should move to Hollywood because Jessica St. Clair, that's the key. You always hold out.
Meryl Streep says there's always more money. You have to just go back to the table, go back to the table. Now, wait, I'm wondering though, did he get the money for just having somebody blow him or did he have to fuck that guy? It's interesting. We don't know. Would love a follow-up. We'd love to hear that.
I don't know what I would do. I actually don't know what I would do if I opened my door and there was someone of any age, of any look, fanning themselves with 10 $100 bills. I don't know what I would do if I opened the door and someone was fanning themselves, period. I would just be like,
Can I tell you, though, Blanche I thought Devereaux. That possibly, when you said fanning, I thought maybe fanning was like a millennial word for standing there with a rock hard dong. That's what I thought fanning was. Like, oh, I fanned her, you know, like or something. I didn't know that. So now I'm getting the image. He's fanning it like a Gone with the Wind type of situation.
Blanche DuBois, exactly. Just vapors
the whole
business.
That's good.
Yeah, you got to tell your friend.
Tell your friend.
And it's really, listen, I think when maybe I'm wrong here, but I have done a thing and I've had a friend who's done a thing where one time I was apartment sitting in New York. I was watching someone's apartment that was way fancier than mine. It was like a friend of mine's aunt.
Sure.
And I remember I was very young, but I wanted to hook up in it. And I remember being like, I am going to act like this is like my place. And I'm like this young savant. And so they came over and I was like, oh yeah, that's just my piano. And I play piano and whatever. And like, it was
that's
just
my piano. Every 25 year old has a struggling actor, has a grand piano in their foyer.
It was an insane
piano.
Play.
I love
that's
to
just my
just,
piano. Exactly. That's yes. I have two levels.
You know, unwinding.
Exactly. The whole business. When I'm unwind, I like to come home, kick off my shoes, play.
Just unwind. With some show tunes, you know?
Absolutely. Just a nice Rhapsody in Blue to close the night off. Why not? Why not? I have a friend who did the exact same thing I did. And then halfway through the charade, the person, my friend was watching a nice apartment. The person goes, I mean, I've been here a few times. Like, I know who owns the apartment.
No.
And was like, I know it's not you who owns the apartment. And my friend truly did fuck me then at the end because he was like, oh, are you still down?
Are you still down to clown? Because I can't. I don't know what I would do. I'm actually burning up thinking about what I would do.
It's so uncomfortable. So I get someone lying. Yeah. When you first meet someone to like turn someone on, but that's only if it's going to be like a one night thing and it'd be like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if I pretended da 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 da?
Yes.
Like I was this count from another country.
Right.
That's like role play, basically.
Yes.
But this is someone who you kept running into and who.
He's a grifter. He's an old fashioned grifter. He'd roll into town with his potions and his lotions.
Absolutely.
You know, everyone would buy it except for Rana, and then he'd roll out with all of our money. No.
That's right.
And you know, the other thing, if you want to be discreet, you can say to your friend, listen, I'm only going to tell you that I lied because I'm so embarrassed. Please keep that secret. But this person you're dating is a psycho. But then here's what he has to be careful of, that there might be some lashing back from that man. He might be like a talented Mr. Ripley. We don't know.
I was
going to
say that man sort of makes me a little bit nervous because that is that is just almost professional lying at that point.
So then I would cover my tracks even more, which I would say to the friend, listen, do not say that I told you this because, and don't even say that you know me because I don't want this psycho coming after me, please.
Right.
But I'm doing this to alert you. But we got to cover our tracks because we don't know what this guy is capable of.
Yeah. I mean, he clearly is just trying to be a different person with everyone he hooks up with. And I mean, that is really crazy. It's so crazy to give someone $1,000 to sleep with them and then ask for help with your mortgage. Honestly, though, it sounded like from the beginning this guy was lying.
Yeah.
I don't know what person who has all that says, like, oh, I'm royalty and I da-da-da-da-da. He didn't have any of it. He didn't have
Brian,
any of it.
Brian, you're so trusting. Even you want to give this guy the benefit of the doubt because he's so good looking. We've not even met him.
But we haven't met him.
But these are the people who end up being successful at pulling these cons. They have to. First of all, you have to be a narcissist to think that it's okay to tell all these lies and steal stuff. I remember being so horrified. I was like, who writes a check from my checkbook? Now, why did I leave a bunch of loose checks around my apartment in New York? That's on me. Okay?
You know what you need to do? There's an article, and this is to One Time Whore. There's an article, I think it was in the New York Times this week, that says what to do when a narcissist knows you know.
Basically, are you kidding me? This is exactly what he needs. Why are we even okay,
read this? I just remembered like, it. Read this article because it was sort of like when they find out that you know what they're up to, how to handle that. Read that. But also, I agree. You have to tell your friend. And it sounds like this is a really close friend and a trusting one. So I think you said it the best, Jessica. I think set yourself up to where – and protect yourself with this, but also share the information. I don't think also, you keep this to yourself.
Post-pandemic, I'm all about honesty.
Me too.
I'm all about, like, I don't want to carry this shit, okay? If this is going to, like, weigh me down or piss me off if I don't say something, just say it. You know what I mean? And just say it plainly. Even if it's to say, I fucked up. Hey, I'm sorry I fucked up. Like, that's the quickest way out of a jam. All this lying, we don't have the time for it. We're busy trying to protect ourselves from a deadly virus.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And the $1,000 for you sounds like it was sort of a kink anyway. It doesn't sound like you needed it, which would have been fine if you did. But this was just a fun thing. I mean, why not? Yeah,
sounds
have
great.
No shame about this. We're post-shame at this point.
No.
Jessica, would you like to read the next one or would you like me to continue? It's totally up
to
you.
Well, let me find. No, go ahead. I'll read it.
Oh, you're so sweet. You know, Rana says that to me too. She says she loves listening to me read.
Does she? Nice. That's interesting because she's putting out a book and I'm doing the voiceover for it. I'm surprised that, I'm doing the audio book. I'm surprised she didn't throw that bone your way.
Are you doing her voice?
No, I'm just reading it. You know how some people, you know, when you're really famous, you write a book, but then you have like, you know, somebody even more, you know, famous record it. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, but that's exciting. Get to the next question.
Okay. Well, for everyone, relax and take a breath.
Okay.
Dear Rana and Brian, an incredible guest, if applicable. Well, yes, we do have a guest today. She is firmly a guest. And
Second,
but, you know, guest stars aren't regulars, you know?
Okay. Yep,
I don't know. You probably know.
But sometimes you get elevated. Sometimes
that's true.
You do so well in season one that the fans are going wild and the writers, they just love it. And then they just put you, you know, they re-up your contract. Okay.
You know what you're making me feel like now? Rudy on Cosby Show, but when she got older.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know why this keeps coming out of me.
Well, I'll tell you, it's her.
Because I'm obviously jealous too. Listen, Rana's time is so limited.
It's so limited that when she shines that light on you.
That's right. It's anybody wants to fight for it. It's like when there's a bunch of, you know, pigs born and they're all trying to get at the nipple.
Petite,
you know,
and
one is going to be left to the wayside and not have a failure to thrive. And let's not have that be you or I.
No,
okay?
We are not runts in this world.
No, we're not.
Okay. So dear Jessica and Brian, Ron and Brian, I'm a huge fan of your show. I've been listening to Brian ever since he started Attitudes, AKA Throwing Shade. I always value your advice and listening to the podcast has been such a joy through lockdown. Now I need your advice. In short, my question is this. What do I do with my ex-boyfriend's dead grandma's painting? A little background. I'm a New Yorker.
Back up again. Dead boyfriends?
No, ex-boyfriends.
Boyfriends,
dead grandma's painting.
Painting. Got it. Okay.
Well, by the way, your ex-boyfriend sounds like a real treat that he didn't want that back.
That's tough. Another narcissist coming our way.
Absolutely. God,
they're everywhere.
Woman. No dead grandmother wants their painting in the wrong hands.
They really don't.
No.
That's keeping them from crossing over to the other side, you know?
Absolutely.
That's the kind of shit that has you come back. All right.
Imagine if a painting my grandmother made was in someone's house she never met.
God.
Who had bad blood with my family?
Exactly. No, thank you. Okay.
I'm a New Yorker, and I'm finally about to move to a new apartment in the city after 10 years in my current place, thanks to rent stabilization. This move is a physical and emotional upgrade. Finally, a nice, updated apartment with a washer and dryer and a fresh start. The problem is, when my ex-boyfriend moved out 4 years ago now, he left behind a painting his grandmother made. One at the time, I insisted we hang on the wall, even though it didn't look good. But it made us feel good. I took the painting down about 2 years ago and replaced it with new art, so it's been sitting in a corner for a while. It's a long story why I ended things with my ex, but we lived together for over a year in this apartment and had a lot of happy and hard memories here. I've dated since, but nothing serious. It's part of the reason I'm moving, to really finally detach. But as I pack the painting, this is the saddest sentence, but as I pack, the painting remains.
Wow.
After my ex moved out, his beloved grandma, the painter, passed away. His cousin told me on Facebook and says it was close to the breakup. I reached out with my condolences to my ex. His grandma was a lovely woman who was always kind to me. It's not funny at all. It's just this poor painting. I actually feel badly for the painting.
Yeah.
And of course, the grandmother. His grandma was a lovely woman who was always kind to me, and my ex felt close to her. But the painting is a reminder. I'm so sorry.
So funny.
I'm so sorry.
It really sounds like one of those movies. It's like, you know, a young Julianne Moore would star in, where like you find a painting and you go back in time and realize like, this is from a woman. From the Blitz. And then like, you know, you also find love while you're researching it in Germany.
Absolutely. It's a Sandra Bullock, The Lake House meets The Hours.
Yeah. A lot of time travel.
Do you want to know my favorite line from The Lake House?
Well, you know, I've never seen it, and I'm gonna watch it tonight.
Drop everything.
I'm going to. I'm not joking. How has that not entered my consciousness?
It is the most confusing. I still don't really understand it, but my favorite line is she's writing a letter to Keanu Reeves, and he just made a joke in his last letter.
Yeah.
And so she goes, "What, did you have clowns for breakfast?"
What? Line. See, that's when everybody was on coke and writing these movies.
Absolutely.
Like, in 5 seconds.
They were like, look, we know we can sell it. Let's stop trying. So, but the painting is a reminder of him and his family, and it's not my taste, and I don't think it will work in my new apartment. We haven't spoken in probably 3 years. What do I do with this painting? Throwing it away or donating it feels cruel. Reaching out to my ex to give it back feels very scary and loaded. I feel a lot of guilt for ending the relationship and often imagine getting back together during this last year. A bad idea. What should I do with this painting? Do I just move it to every home I live in for the rest of my life? Any advice would be so appreciated. I've attached a picture. I don't see it.
Oh, shit. I need to see this.
I've attached a picture. Thank you. Please don't use my real name, R. Dante, if for any reason you have access to the Ask Rana email,
please,
I just want to see it. And if we can cut it out if it feels too personal, but I'm just dying to see this painting. Okay.
Wow.
Well, first of all, I just want to say, it sounds like this was a hard breakup, especially because I don't know this guy, but the sense I'm getting is if you really didn't want to break up with him, but you knew it was good for you, I feel like probably there was some emotional manipulation or emotional abuse, maybe.
That's
something that,
you know, it is. This is,
did
so
you feel that way too?
No, because this is how you and I are like the fraternal twins, you know, and we're seeing life in a different way. I'm thinking to myself, you must go to him, that this was true love. I'm serious. When he got to the part where he says, reaching out to my ex to give it back feels very scary and loaded, I'm like, you must do the thing that scares you most. That's an Eleanor Roosevelt quote. You got to go for it. Okay?
But what if
you got to go back.
Would it scare you to reach out to the man you apartment swapped with?
Listen, we're not talking. You're back in the first letter.
You're right,
I'm
you're
in
right,
the
you're
present
right,
moment here.
You're right.
We don't know. We don't know why they broke up.
That's true.
It sounds like he feels guilty about why they broke up. So if anything, maybe he had commitment issues. We don't know. But he wants another chance. And I feel like if I'm really going forward with this theory, it's that this grandmother, this dead grandmother, wants these two together. And that's why this painting remains. And that's the movie I want to see.
I want to see that movie too, because it's a lot more fun and Sandy B could do it. No question.
Yeah, of course she can. Of course
no question.
She could.
She's in
quite
it.
Frankly, I'd see her do it now. I don't even need early Sandy B.
No way.
Right. She's like divorced. She's been through it. And then she realizes she finds the painting and she realizes she has to get back in touch with that boyfriend who maybe had a substance abuse problem, but he's cleared it up and changed his life.
I gotta say something. She's had a very long career, but I don't want her to ever take a break. I love her. I love her movies.
It's like watching Simone Biles. It's a perfect 10
completely.
Every single time.
She sticks the landing every single time.
She can do comedy. She could do drama.
Drama. She could do
it all. Sisterhood of the Yaya. Remember the Yaya Sisterhood?
The traveling Yaya Sisterhood. Yes.
I'd even watch that again.
Me too.
I'd
watch Numbers.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Yes.
I'd watch them.
Miss
no
Congeniality.
Problem.
I mean, anytime she comes on TBS, I'm staying.
Same.
Right.
But all I'm saying is this person said they thought it was a bad idea if they got together, but they want to be back together with them. So that's why I feel like maybe this person's done a number on you, but maybe not. Jessica, you might be right. Maybe it's just throw caution to the wind and embrace this person.
Again, we're living through a deadly pandemic. If not now, then when?
Sure.
You know, you reach back out to him, you get confirmation that he's a psycho. Okay. Then you move on with your life with no regrets. Again, he's carrying the physical painting with him, but he's also
the writer
carrying
is a woman,
the
I should
regrets.
Say that. I should say that. Which is
why did I picture? Maybe it's
because everyone who writes in is gay, and so this is
maybe that's it. I was picturing, picturing Michael Urie, you know, paired with a handsome up and comer. You know, a fresh face in this movie, in this indie. Okay, okay, fine. It doesn't change it though. They're carrying around the regret of whatever it was, the fact that maybe this was the one that got away, how they handled it. Either way, there's a conversation that needs to be had.
Okay.
So go for it.
So I'm disagreeing with you completely.
Okay.
I think she's had to get away from him for some reason. I think really this is where it goes more Julia Roberts, and it might be a sleeping with the enemy.
Sleeping with the enemy.
Exactly.
Now I'm hearing you. It's scary. When you heard scary, you thought physically scary.
I thought just someone's going to have to dive into an ocean and swim for their lives.
Right.
And then,
that's right.
Get out of the water. First thing, get a haircut.
That's right. That's right. Go underground.
Dance in your kitchen and then
right.
Wait in fear for the rest of your life.
Right. That's right.
No, I just have a feeling that maybe he might have done a little number on her. Not physically, just in general. But what would I do with this fucking painting?
Marie Kondo would say, you say thank you for the joy that it brought you. Thank you. And then you move on. And that is, and now I'm fully going in the other direction, which is to say, you're getting a fresh start. And maybe there's a way in which you feel guilty about letting the pain go. Sometimes we have a hard time letting go that sad story. But you've got a new apartment. Why would we drag the old drama with us?
And why would you... Going back to my initial thing, why would you store it somewhere? You
don't store it.
Don't.
Just get rid of it. Donate it.
I think you're
bring
right.
it over to a place that, you know, you think does good work and give it to somebody that will, you know, they'll buy it and that money will go to a good place. And you know what? Here's the thing. That's on your part. That's on your ex. If he comes a calling for a painting 10 years ago that he left, I mean, that's on him. He doesn't even care about the painting.
You could even, I mean, this might be too much work, but you could even like take it to a senior center or, you know what I mean? Somewhere that maybe could use a little zhuzh or a little brightness or something. But this could bring other people joy. And you could look at that part of it in terms of like incentive to donate, because it actually could mean more to someone else than it does to you. And it's not a reflection on the grandmother. It's just, you can't carry that around.
You can't carry that around. And also, you know, I think the pandemic gave us a lot of time to think. And it's not always a good thing to think, because we weren't doing. Do you know what I mean? All we had were our past memories. Let's make new memories. You know, let's not go back to the past. So I've given you two wildly different opinions, and either which were helpful.
I think, they were. I do think that there's no shame in making this a bright spot for someone else and not for yourself. And I don't think you should reach out to this person. I just don't.
Yeah, I don't either.
And I guess, we'll hear it from Rana if she feels differently. Oh, my God.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it hasn't opened for me yet. Are you seeing it?
I'm seeing it. For your listeners, it is it looks like, I don't know if it's watercolor or mixed media, but it's, and I think this is really, really, really important. It's one person in a canoe paddling alone.
In a lake that's not
in
long.
A lake. And that is why the spirit of this grandmother, who I believe also liked this woman, is saying it's time for you to continue to paddle by yourself. Get off of that canoe and walk into the forest and see what life is going to bring you. There's not two people in that canoe. I think that's very interesting.
Do you want to know something else about this painting?
What?
I like it.
I do too.
It's very
charming. I wouldn't throw it away.
I would.
Yeah. It's a cute little thing, and someone's going to snap it right up.
No,
but not you.
No, not you.
You don't need bad memories around. You don't need them.
If I saw this in a donation center, I would look twice at it.
Absolutely.
I think it's really cute.
Just put it in a little corner of your house. Just a little surprise. Maybe in a bathroom and a guest bathroom.
Bathroom would be great for this. And I don't mean that as a dig. I mean, it would just look great in a bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, I think we solved that one. We have one more, Jessica. Are you ready?
Okay, yes.
Dear Ronner, Brian, and potential guest, Jessica St. Clair.
Okay.
I'm wondering if you can help finally solve the most hotly contested issue across the city of Los Angeles and one of the most unresolved arguments on every neighborhood next door.
Okay,
this will be a good question. Is it okay to throw your dog's poop in someone else's trash can? To be clear, I'm referring to the black outdoor trash bin, not a public dumpster. People are simply obsessed with arguing about this issue over and over again and come up with crazy rules and justifications for their positions, i.e. it's fine unless it's within 6 hours after the trash is collected. I've never heard that excuse. It's not fine because someone else's child may have a weak immune system. It's okay as long as you tie the bag. Personally, I think it's fine. It's not like you're sticking your head in the garbage bin or licking it or even bringing it inside.
That's right.
That's not the same thing. I have two big dogs. Honestly, I would rather someone stick their head in my garbage can and then pull out than throw something in it.
Throw a bunch of poop in there.
Exactly.
Okay.
Stick your head in it all you want. Okay. Personally, I think it's fine. It's not okay. I have two big dogs, though, and being able to free up a hand from a full poop bag really makes a walk easier. So I guess I'm biased. Because otherwise it's like holding dumbbells. I also think if you're so concerned about dog shit in your can, but you can leave the can at the curb all week, you're asking for it. Looking forward to your answers so we can finally put this hot topic to bed. All the best, Sarah. Feel free to use my name. P.S. I had somewhere between a romantic and sex dream about Ronna recently. And it was hot, Nothing happened other than our thighs were touching. But I could feel the electricity between us for real. I know Ronna isn't gay, but I am, and I loved it. Wow.
It's very Merchant Ivory, isn't it? Just like a little, like a
passage
peak of the
to
wrist.
India. Absolutely.
Yes.
I gotta say, Ronna is a very sensual person.
Oh, absolutely. The way she savors things. Do you know what I mean? Even when the way she speaks, she savors things.
I totally agree.
She enjoys life to the fullest. You can imagine
if you've ever heard her say the word fresh.
Yes,
that's
fresh.
How she says it. Fresh.
Yeah, fresh. Yeah, everything about her is very carnal in a way. You have a feeling that she's lived life to the fullest, you know?
Completely.
And that makes her sexy,
I totally agree.
Other things about her. But okay, what do you
think? Give it to us. I think it's perfectly fine.
I
do it even.
I do it too. And I will tell you, I get a little thrill sometimes, especially when you have to run up kind of onto the property and do it.
Yeah.
And I also think the people who leave a note that says, like, do not throw your poop in here. I'm like, that cues to me you're not a dog person, so I'm not interested in you, and that you've got control issues. You know, let your garbage can be what it is. It's a receptacle for garbage. Let's just let it be what it is.
Especially when it's not actually ever going in your house.
That's right. That's my point. It's like, those are, in fact, I think a good, like, I had a friend who, the way she decides whether or not she wants to be close friends with somebody is she says, if this was World War II, would you hide me? Would you hide me in your house or give me up?
Wow.
And Yeah. I mean, that's really intense, right? But but a great litmus test. I kind of feel like if you want to know if this person is a control freak, ask them, hey, what do you think about this? Do you think people should be able to throw poop in there?
Great idea.
There we go.
Great idea. Then
great
you can
idea.
Understand whether you're dealing with someone who's going to take everything to a 10 and is really high strung and is way too much work.
You don't want to go on a vacation, okay, with somebody who isn't okay with other people's poop being thrown in, or dog's poop. I'm sorry. If it's human poop, I don't want it. But if it's sealed up in a bag, if they don't want that in your garbage can, you don't want to be in Cabo with them.
I couldn't agree more. It just is, as you said, as long as it's not human, as long as it's sealed up nicely, which, and by the way, because you want to know what's more offensive? People not throwing poop in the garbage.
Yeah.
People who don't clean up after their dogs is truly horrific to me. Dude, you don't, do you?
No, you know what was crazy though? For a while, we were opening our door at our townhouse and seeing one of those green bags of poop just placed on our doorstep. And to this day, it went on for months. We could not figure out who was doing it.
Did you ever hear about the lady in Orange County who, I said the story wrong already, but children were waking up in their homes and I'm not doing this right. Out front every morning, they were all girls about the same age, would have their name on a really old Victorian doll. They were waking up to this on the front door.
The
parents probably saw it first. Turns out, and so there was a big news story about it, and the parents were crying.
Yeah, it sounds like you're gonna,
of course.
That's scary as shit.
Turns out it was just a 90-year-old woman who was a little bit lonely and was like, I thought these dolls would bring joy to the neighborhood children.
Oh, and everyone thought there was a serial killer
Everyone thought she was a serial killer. So, but I don't, I think actually the parents in that situation were justified.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, Jessica, we have reached the end of the show, and here's what happens in the end.
Okay.
We decide, I don't know if you remember, but we decide who deserves something a little special that wrote it.
Okay.
Who needs this the most? Or who needs a little something to brighten their day the very most? I actually don't even know what the prize is, but maybe we'll get to that. Okay, so here are our options. Are we giving something to, number one, the person who's dealing with the $1,000 liar?
Fanning. Okay.
The guy. Are we doing this to the person who's holding onto the ex's dead grandma's painting?
Yeah.
Or the person who was curious about dog poop?
Number two.
I totally.
100%.
Which is poop, but you meant question number two, not number three.
Yeah, exactly. Number two, I think she needs a little something to launch her into her new life. I'd like to publish a retraction. I do not want her contacting this guy. That's old news, okay? I'm so sorry. When I was lost in a Sandy B reverie, and I just want to be very clear, I do not want you contacting this ex. He's an ex
there
for
it
a
is.
Reason.
There it is. Listen, it's the pandemic. Is you post pandemic or are we? Yeah. I don't know. Whatever
I'm
it
not
is.
Not sure.
Post lockdown, I guess.
Intermission.
And so during intermission, you're allowed to change your mind a bunch of different times. Maybe you hated the show, but you see potential. Whatever it is,
that's
no problem at all. All right. So number two, you're getting something fabulous. Maybe it's a bottle of Negroni. Maybe it's the coffee. Maybe I don't know. Maybe it'll be a signed headshot from Jessica St. Clair. We'll see.
Hey. I'll dig them out. In fact, I should find my original headshot that I ever took. I'm sure Rana did not weigh in on my choice of outfit or the photographer.
Do you remember the photographer?
I wish I remembered, but
was it
was
Chia Messina?
Yes, that's who it was.
Me
that's
too.
That's who it was.
Me too.
Holy shit! It was Chia Messina.
She was the best. She was the best.
Wait,
there
Brian,
was.
Oh God, we have to find. Will you look
I know,
for yours?
I will.
And I'll post mine.
I think my
mine.
Parents might have my first one, but yes, I will absolutely ask them to take a picture of it.
Because for some reason, I don't know why she had me do this, but I chose the one where I had my knees up and I was like this and then slyly looking and what it looked like was a tampon ad, like what to do when it's that time of the month and you don't feel so good. And I used that and sent it out. It's no wonder I didn't get a job.
Yeah, Chia Messina was supposed to steer us right.
Chia Messina.
Chia Messina. She was the one to go to. Okay. I can't believe I didn't mention this at the beginning, even though we talked about your podcast, but let's talk about the deep dive for a second.
Oh, thank you. You know, I wasn't giving off the right vibe in the beginning, bragging about it, but you were coming at me with such shade. Yes, the deep dive is a podcast I host with June Diane Raphael. And
love.
It's basically, you know, exactly what we were just talking about. We decided to get together and have a fully authentic kind of girls' night where we just talk about what's going on in our lives. And it's been so fun, but also so wonderful because all the people listening have been writing in to say, you know, I feel seen and heard, because what we realized is people were really feeling a lot of grief post-pandemic, and
sure,
they didn't have anybody to talk about it with or any kind of forum. And so it's been really nice to connect with perfect strangers, each one of which I would want to be friends with. I have to be honest.
That's really lovely.
They always start their DMs with like, I never do this, but I wanted to reach out to say this little bit really spoke to me, you know, or helped me. And so that's really nice, you know?
And what days do you all drop your episodes?
Wednesday morning.
It sounds absolutely lovely. So Rana hates when people drop their episodes on the same day we do, even though I keep telling her people listen all the time. It doesn't really matter.
They don't care.
Come out on a Tuesday. The deep dive comes out on a Wednesday. That sounds like a great couple of hours for somebody.
It does. Oh,
so,
and you know,
fulfilling.
Yes, it's very comforting too. You know, I think it's comforting to feel like you can just listen, and sometimes you're going to talk about serious stuff, and sometimes you're going to talk about, you know, exfoliation.
Yeah. Exactly. Great. By the way, which is very comforting. As
yes,
Wendy Williams always says, her favorite part of the day is moisturizing. I get it.
I totally get it.
I totally.
By the way,
lovely.
I have one of the best, I don't mean to brag again, but one of the best license photos ever, because of a Tyra Banks segment when she had her own talk show about how to take a great license photo. And I have searched for it. It's you have to wear a pop of color on, and then you have to smize, basically.
Yeah.
You have to give it, and you need to be, it was the whole thing of how to stand and where to look. And I, to be honest,
and
I can't
worked.
Find it again. And it worked. It worked to the point where people don't think it's me, because normally I look like I crawled out of a pile of dry leaves.
That honestly is some of the best advice I've ever heard in my life about
yes.
the license photo.
Yeah. You
okay.
got to wear a pop of color.
Follow Jessica St. Clair everywhere. Listen to The Deep Dive. You really are. It's been, you know, I have to say, we've only met a couple times before this, and I really
know.
Loved this last hour with you. It's been so
Me
fun.
Me too, Brian. We've really taken a journey. We started off at odds, you know, and I feel like this is probably how a lot of pop stars feel about each other.
I think
you know?
So. You know, it's so fun. Exactly. This is a mm-hmm. Katie Taylor mm-hmm. sort of thing. And
exactly. And we're stronger when we bond together.
I totally agree. And I have to say, it's a nice lesson for the world, in a world where, you know, Democrat versus Republican, East Coast versus West Coast, like you are seeing a Democrat, me, and a Republican, you.
No, again,
meeting in the
I'm not a Republican. No,
are you
I'm
sure?
not. I want to be very clear. I'm
okay.
sure.
Yeah, now's the forum. You should say what
no,
you what
I'm
you
not
believe.
A Republican.
Say what you believe.
Okay, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. Like all of those things are not true. And I really wish, this is just, I'm going to take 1 second and then we can close the show.
Okay.
Please stop updating my Wikipedia page
uh-huh.
with false information.
I
okay?
don't believe it's false.
I know, but every time I check it, you've changed the date of birth. You're making me years older than I am.
Yeah.
You're saying a lot of things about my stances on things, and it's really damaging to my career, so please stop.
Well, I thought you knew Mamie Eisenhower. You didn't?
No, I don't. I didn't.
Okay.
Okay. I did quote Eleanor Roosevelt during this podcast, and I know I lost a couple listeners,
why.
But that's okay.
So you were friends with Eleanor Roosevelt. I don't know why I said maybe.
I wasn't. I wasn't friends with her. I wasn't alive then.
Okay. You know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to get off your Wikipedia for the weekend and really have a think about whether my beliefs are.
No, get off of it altogether. Don't do it. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
But your name is fake, right? You made that for Hollywood?
No, I didn't. That's my real name.
I thought your real name was Griselda.
No.
No last name.
Just one name.
Yeah, I guess I was wrong. I was wrong. Okay. Jessica St. Clair, you're an absolute delight. I love you so much. Do you want to stick around to hear the cliffhanger? You don't have to if you got to run.
No, I want to, of course.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I'll do this quickly and we'll end with this. And of course, go to patreon.com/askrana to get the answer to this cliffhanger. Let's do it. Dear Ronna, Brian, an honored guest. Only for listening. Jessica's not answering this one. First, I love your podcast. I too discovered you through Ronna's special appearance on Bitch Sesh, which, by the way, if no one has ever heard Jessica St. Clair on Bitch, it is the funniest thing in the world because you're not into those shows.
I don't ever watch them. Ever. In fact, I dislike them.
It is the freshest perspective you could ever hear. She gets so upset.
Yeah, so upset. But I take wildly different stances, much like I did on these questions.
I got to tell you.
Don't know which way I'm coming.
It's an absolute blast to listen to you on there and everywhere. So grateful the universe aligned to bring me to you both each week. It's out of character for me to write into a show like this, but you say this is a space for people who truly have nowhere else to turn. And I strongly believe I fit into this category with this mystery that's been haunting me and my family for close to a year. Here's the background. We live in Denver, and about 4 years ago, we moved to a new home. My husband and I both work full-time, so we hired a dog walker to help us a few days a week. The dog walking company was owned by a woman named Leslie, and on occasion, she would hire helpers to make sure all her pups were walked on schedule. One of the helpers was our favorite. Let's call her Kay. Young, cool, very normal girl in her mid to late 20s. We bonded over similar tastes in music, and she would bring her husky to walk with our dog. About a year into our engagement with Leslie, she informed us that she'd be moving to Mexico with her children, and Kay would be buying the business. I was aware that there was some healthy negotiation between Leslie and Kay on the sale price, but ultimately they found a resolution. We were thrilled for Kay and made sure to support her through the transition. We consistently scheduled our walks and paid in advance each month, considering ourselves very steady, reliable customers to what was now named Country Club Critters. Fast forward to March of 2020, when COVID took its grip on the world. Like many, we were both unexpectedly working from home, but fortunate enough that we had no negative impact on our income. While we didn't necessarily need help walking our dog anymore, we decided that the right thing to do was to continue supporting local businesses who were being negatively impacted by the pandemic. Kay and Country Club Critters were, of course, at the top of that list. Being at home, we started to engage with Kay directly more often, having pleasant small talk when she arrived, talking about the weather, et cetera, et cetera. She was always on time, always a bright light when she walked in the door, and an excellent communicator. That's in italics. In mid-July, I was sitting at the kitchen table when the door opened. And someone I wasn't expecting walked in the door. Leslie, the original dog walker. It took me a minute to register who it was, but I quickly realized that Leslie had clearly found her way back from Mexico and into our coat closet, retrieving the dog leash. Wait, she mentioned that Kay had to leave town unexpectedly and that she was helping out. Not a big deal, but very strange that Kay hadn't shared this with us ahead of time. Again, she was a great communicator. Later that day, I received a text from Kay that she had to go back to the East Coast for a family emergency and that Leslie would be covering while she was gone. This made me feel better. The next day, when it was time for our dog to get picked up again, no one showed. I texted Kay and she responded almost instantaneously that she would check with Leslie and was expected to be home the coming weekend and things would be back to normal. Leslie never showed up, and this was the last text I ever received from Kay. I texted Kay the next day, checking on her and Leslie's status. The following day, I started to get genuinely worried, and a week later, after no communication, I sent her a message letting her know how concerned I was about her and that I was, of course, here to help if she needed anything at all. I tried calling Kay's number. Her voicemail was full. I tried calling the number I had for Leslie, and it was disconnected. I emailed the business, no response, and periodically since last August, I've made a few more failed attempts. Nothing. Literally, crickets. I'm not a social media wizard, but here are a few clues we have found. No activity on our personal business Instagram since early 2020. Nothing in the news or internet when we search her name. A friend of a friend sent her a request on Instagram. She, or someone with access to her account, accepted a day later. I also sent her a request. No response. Country Club Critters has a delinquent status of business registered in Colorado. Her Facebook picture was changed at the end of last year, and the only comment on the picture is from what seems like a family member, an aunt maybe, that says, "I wish I could talk to you right now." We have reached out to this person with no response. Kay was someone that was in our home almost daily for years, and suddenly she disappeared. I think about her all the time, and would just love to know if she's okay. If she decided to go off the grid and leave her dog walking past behind her, there would be no ill will or judgment from us. My biggest fear is that something to happen to her, or worse, some foul play with Leslie? Ultimately, closure is what I'm seeking and look forward to hearing your collective wisdom on this matter. Best, concerned dog owner. I gotta say, we have never had a question like this.
I just got a text from Reese Witherspoon. She says she's picked that letter up on the case. her book club pick, and they're going to be turning it into an Apple TV series.
Absolutely. Rosamund Pike is playing both Leslie and Kay. It's all absolutely happening. Join us on patreon.com/ashgarana for that absolutely wild detective question. And Jessica St. Clair, again, I'll say it again, listen to the deep dive, follow her on all the socials. You are one in a billion. You're the best.
Thank you so much for having me, Brian. And I'm so glad we could join forces. Maybe we could have a sleepover at the carriage house.
I would love it.
Wouldn't that be fun?
So much fun. Yes.
We'll get some Biore strips and we'll just see what we could pull out.
I would love
see what kind of black cats we can figure out.
Definitely. We'll talk about Jason Priestley.
Sounds great.
That sounds so fun. All right. Bye. See you soon.
Okay. Bye.